Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today we're talking about the main mother wounds and their impact, the impact that they have on our lives, and a little bit of what to do to work with those. In the newsletter last week, I spoke about the storm, or more than one actually, that hit Ireland in those days last week. As you've heard from last episodes, we were without power for a few days and we had no phones, no heating in the house. It was pretty intense, and there was no way to know when that was going to be restored, when things were going to go back to normal. So in the newsletter, I shared how that triggered in me the I need to be in control wound, because clearly everything that happened was outside of my control, and there was a constant uncertainty of how the situation would develop. Literally, we didn't know where we were going to be for the next few hours, and like there was a lot of that going on. And it is something that has been, I felt for a long time like that wound has been one of the main ones that has just affected my life so much. And just a couple of days after, when finally the power came back and I could check my emails again, someone reached out to me saying that the email that I had sent, the newsletter, had been super helpful for them as they were experiencing their own kind of storm in their life. And they were also feeling like they had no control over it. And on top of that, they were also feeling alone because they felt like there was no one there to support them, which I totally get. It's another one of the main wounds. When we feel vulnerable and out of control, the inner child within us needs that parental support, the one that we didn't get, you know, the type of which we never fully gotten growing up, at least not in a way that allowed us to be grounded and independent as adults. So I decided to do an episode on the main mother wounds, to go deeper into the topic and to offer some clarity in how these wounds have an impact on our everyday life as adults, and also to explore how we can heal from these wounds. Yes, I'm going to speak to five main wounds that, in my experience, in my observation, are the ones from which then a lot of other stuff comes from that impacts our everyday life. And we're going to see how that works. So let's have a look at the main mother wounds that we carry when we have been raised by a narcissistic mother. The first one is the I am unlovable wound. And where does that come from? A narcissistic mother's love is conditional. She doesn't love her child just for being, but the child has to meet a series of criteria and conditions that the mother values. This is clearly an impossible task for a child. So what follows are constant put-downs, verbal and physical abuses, all the way to complete neglect. So there is the behavior of the narcissistic mother from the very, very beginning that making you feel like you were a burden, that making you feel like you were a bad child, that making you, the guilt tripping too, that making you feel like she suffers because you are a bad child, otherwise she would be fine. Or the neglect, the complete like leaving, like not tending to the basic needs, leaving the baby crying for hours without tending to it. Like, you know, all of these things that a narcissistic mother does leaves you with a deeply rooted belief that you are inherently unlovable, and that in order to be loved, you need to do something, you know, you need to be something else, you need to perform. So you are unlovable inherently, just as you are. In order to access some kind of love from someone else, you need to perform in some way. That is the I am unlovable wound. The second one is the I am not enough wound. A narcissistic mother sets a bar for the child to reach, for the child to get approved, to get validation, that's constantly moving higher and higher. You can never satisfy her, no matter what you do. A narcissistic mother values a precise set of qualities that she believes make her look good on the outside. Remember, a narcissist, all they want, all they care about is what, like, their public opinion and how they're looking on the outside to others. So she doesn't care for the needs of the child. She cares for what will reflect good on her. So she's going to impose these qualities on her child, expect that the child meets a certain level of standards. And that level of standards is always raising, is always rising, is always increasing. This leaves you believing that you're not good enough simply as you are, but that you constantly need to struggle to prove your worth, and inevitably you come up short. You know, that you need to meet those criteria, which are often unreachable. Or maybe you got there, you know, maybe you even got the results your mother wanted. Maybe you excelled in the school, or you excelled in the career, or you excelled in the sport that your mother put you in. But then you are bound to that. You can't actually ever get out of that. The minute you want to change that, the minute you lose your interest in that, the minute you actually start saying, well, that's what you wanted me to do, but I don't want to do that, then the love stops. The validation stops. The punishment is that the narcissistic mother will withdraw her affection, will tell you that's bad, or it'll guilt trip you into, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing this to me? So her love is connected to that. Her love is connected to what you do, to what you achieve. And no matter how hard you try, many of us, no matter how hard we try, we never got there. We never actually achieved enough to satisfy our mothers. Also, a narcissistic mother will often use comparison, again, reinforcing the fact that you come up short compared to the people she values. This could be with other siblings. This could be with other people from the outside. Doesn't matter who it is, but that reinforces that I am not enough wound. I am not enough just as I am. I'm not lovable just as I am, and I'm not enough just as I am to achieve and to do. This is going to impact your confidence in life, the confidence to go out and pursue your dreams, to do the things that you want to do, that you want to achieve. Because if you're not enough, it's like the constant needing for permission to actually go and do the things that you want to do, and the constant needing for that, you know, like going back and ask your parents, like, even when you're an adult, have you found that when you are in a difficult situation, even if you know better, there is this like wanting to go ring your parents and ask, or ring your mother and ask about something, because inherently you have this belief that you're not enough, you're not capable by yourself, you always need to go back to someone that gives you permission, or that gives you confirmation of your decisions, or such and such. The third wound is the I need to be in control wound, the one that got so triggered during the storm for me. So growing up with a narcissistic mother is an emotionally and often physically unsafe environment, of course. So maybe you grew up feeling responsible for her emotional state, and you had to, you know, tiptoe around her and be hyper vigilant about that. Maybe you were blamed about everything that went wrong. So again, you were on eggshells all the time, because, I mean, the punishment or the blame or the outburst would come. Or yeah, maybe you were blamed about the fact that she was so unhappy, that you were the bad child, and she was unhappy and stressed because of you. So again, responsible for her emotional state. Maybe you never knew when the next outburst would come. I know that from my own experience. Like, I could be perfectly content doing my own games and doing my own things, and then my mother would shout like from a different room, like, and she was clearly angry. There was something that I had done that I had no idea. I completely unexpected, and that just got my nervous system like jumping, and that created the hypervigilance and the need to control everything in my environment. Maybe that's your experience. Maybe in the rare moments when you were content, she would start giving out abruptly or get physically abusive. That's another possibility and more. So there's a lot of that that makes us become constantly on edge, hypervigilant, and always feeling unsafe. So needing to be in control of every single situation and aspect is a very good coping strategy. I mean, it works. It makes sense not to want to feel unsafe and taken by surprise by something hurtful ever again. And it makes sense to be in a state of panic and anxiety when things get out of control. I mean, if you've experienced all of that, it makes a lot of sense to have this deeply rooted belief that you need to be in control of everything. That if something changes all of a sudden in the plan that you made, the world is going to end, because that's like your mother is going to come in and make you suffer in some way, in whichever way that that looked like for you. So that's a deeply rooted wound, and you will observe it will come out in different ways for each one of us, and we'll go into that in a minute, how that can actually manifest. So the fourth wound is the inner critic knows better wound. A narcissistic mother puts her needs before the ones of her child, and also manipulates her child into believing she's not good enough and capable. We've seen that in the other wounds as well, so that the mother can maintain her control. Okay, and a narcissistic mother wants to control her child, manipulates her child so that the child remains under her control and not like an independent person. She doesn't see you as an independent person. You're an extension of her. For her to do what she wants with, for her to fulfill her own needs. So a narcissistic mother is not attuned with her child's needs from the very beginning, and she will disregard them completely. She just doesn't care for them. So from a very young age, your needs, your take on a situation, none of it matters. When you were a baby, she did whatever suited her in the moment, you know, not tuned into your needs. So like, I don't know, have you ever been in that situation? Maybe when you were a little bit older, but you know, you said you were hungry maybe, and no, you're not hungry now, you can't be hungry right now, you've just eaten, so that can't be true. But your body's telling you that you're hungry, but she's not tuned into your needs. She just doesn't want to be bothered to make you food again, maybe, or whatever the situation is. Or again, you might be crying because you're tired. So when you were a baby, that was going on already, only you didn't have the words to express. So you could be crying because you were tired, but in her mind, you were not meant to be tired right now, because we're in a shop and you're making her look bad and you're crying in front of everyone. So there's like this constant not trusting what your system is telling you, because your mother is 100% telling you the opposite and invalidating what your inner system is actually telling you. And as you grew up into being able to voice your needs and intuition, she would either ignore it or tell you that it was wrong and that she knows better, or even punish you for it. So all of that until you disconnected from your guidance system and you started following hers, which was an ease and very unstable one. So that's like, instead of following your guidance system, you follow her voice. And what does her voice do? Put you down all the time. It's that inner critic that remains inside of us. And we're constantly, constantly listening to that instead of reconnecting with that inner wisdom. And again, from this wound comes that need to ring your mother for everything. It's another aspect of that. Even when you know better than to do that. And that feeling that nobody has your back. And the loneliness that follow. Because the ultimate source of that connection that happens within, that relationship with your own inner guidance system, that is the ultimate support. Is yourself being there for yourself every step of the way. But when that is disconnected from a very young age, that disconnection from self, that is really difficult. And again, we spoke to the needs that a child has, which are attachment and authenticity. The authenticity is that connection with that inner wisdom and guidance. But we, as a child, will give up that authenticity in order to keep the attachment. And if your mother is threatening to take that attachment away from you, you're going to give up the authenticity in order to maintain the attachment, because that's what you need in order to survive as a little baby. So, and as a child growing up. So again, that's how we stop relying on our own intuition and guidance, and we start listening to that inner critic voice that is inside our head. But that's not us. That's a different voice. That's our mother's voice. And it's not very helpful. The fifth wound is the disconnection from the mother energy wound. A baby needs the unconditional nourishing love from her mother. And from that unconditional love and nourishment, from that support, a baby learns to self-soothe and to self-regulate. We're not born like able to do that. We're meant to learn this from the parents that are supposedly emotionally intelligent. A narcissistic mother is emotionally disconnected and dysregulated, and she cares only for her needs, as we've seen, and she's not attuned with her child. So the child can learn to be self-attuned, and it can't learn to self-soothe, and it's going to feel constantly unsafe. So that causes a disconnection from the capacity to self-soothe and self-regulate, which is the inner mother energy. Is that energy that holds space for whatever is happening emotionally in the system. Because like learning to self-soothe and learning to self-regulate doesn't mean that you're not experiencing quite intense emotions. On the contrary, you can experience super intense emotions, but you're able to hold space for yourself while going through that. You don't get swallowed up by them and going down into a rabbit hole, but you are able to maintain a structure around it, like literally. It's like two things happen at the same time. There is a part of you that is feeling and experiencing the waves of emotions, while there is another part of you, that kind of inner mother energy, that holds space for it, which is what would happen when if a baby is going through some emotionality that of course they don't have words for yet, they're just babies. The nourishing, loving mother, it's going to be there holding, soothing, offering that support to hold space until that wave is being processed and it's over. And that's what teaches the baby to go, okay, this is what we do when we're going through strong emotions. We regulate that way. We just hold space. But when we haven't had that, we've been told that that's wrong, that you shouldn't be experiencing, you shouldn't be angry, you shouldn't cry, it's bad to cry in front of mommy, why are you crying again, you're just a crybaby, or you're so bold and whatnot, then we disconnect and we start mothering ourselves like our narcissistic mother has mothered us, which is giving out inside, oh, you're feeling these emotions again, you're useless, you're nothing but a bad person, you're incapable, and so on and so forth. So these are the main the five main wounds from which a lot of what we experience in our everyday life come from. And how do you know that you carry these wounds within? You can ask yourself a few things. Have you ever felt you needed to perform in order to be loved or accepted by others? Do you lose your cool when things don't feel in control, like when something unexpected happens or when someone surprises you, like even hating surprises, it's a part of the needing to be in control wound. If something goes weird while you're traveling, all of a sudden plan changes, a plane gets cancelled, an hotel reservation didn't go through, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're like in a panic, or you forgot to bring something with you, or anything like that. That's all part of the system that needs to be in control at all costs. For example, another very practical example of that would be needing to go into the same shop all the time and feeling anxious if you have to go into a new shop or into a new office or in any new environment. For me, I don't know why, but for years, like, I was very nervous if I had to go into a different filling station. Like, I used to go always to the same, you know, traveling from back and to work and always stopping in the exact same filling station. And if I had to go to a different one, I'd rather bring the car home nearly on empty and get my husband then to go fill the tank at another time than to go into a new filling station, because it was a new environment. And I don't know, it's irrational. It's not a rational thing. And to someone that hasn't been through what we've been through, that can seem very silly. So when you speak to these things, other people might look at you like, that's really weird. But that's just a trauma response. That's what it is. So you start understanding that that comes from wounding that you've experienced when you were a child. And there's no judgment on how it manifests in your life. That's just the result of what you've experienced. Another thing you could ask yourself is, when something happens to you, do you feel the need to contact your mother? Or even if you know better than that, do you feel the pang of loneliness that comes from not being able to have a mother you can count on? Which is fair enough. I mean, if you feel that way, I totally get it. But again, it's like, if you're feeling that, a part of that is down to that disconnection from the inner mother that is within you and the relationship of you with you. Another question you can ask yourself is, when strong emotions come, do you feel the need to distract or to soothe with coping methods like a glass of wine, for example, or getting busy or going on screens or shopping or food? So if you answer yes to at least one or maybe all of those questions, I get it. I could definitely answer yes to all, and more than that. There's tons more questions that you can ask yourself for the best part of my life. So you're not alone here, and there's nothing wrong with you. That's really important. Again, I'm going to say that again. There is nothing wrong with you. Be very kind with yourself. These are the result of experiences you've lived in your childhood. And they're not. None of that is your fault. So how do these mother wounds show up in our everyday life? Okay, in other words, let's see how you might be feeling as a result of carrying these wounds with you. And I just have a few here, and I'm sure there is more, but these are the main, the main results of these wounds, the main ways you might be feeling as a result of these wounds. Lack of confidence, lack of self-reliance, constant self-criticism and strong self-judgment, fear of making your own decisions, need for approval and validation, insecurity with your body and appearances, inability to set boundaries, inability to self-regulate, getting swallowed up by emotions, being constantly triggered by outer circumstances and people and blame outer circumstances and blame other people, difficult codependent or abusive relationships. This can be in intimate relationships. This can be in friendships too. or even in work relationships. Need to people please. Being hypervigilant and hyperreactive to the emotional state of others. So becoming a strongly empathic person, but in a way that is really not helpful for you. Anxiety, panic, lack of motivation, depression, and hopelessness. Are you feeling any of this? Are any of this part of your experience in your everyday life? All of it, like all of it was definitely my everyday lived experience. And a lot of it still can get triggered in determined situations, like what happened last week. And when it is all put together on a list like that, it feels like a lot. And it might feel like there's no way out of this loop of pain that we live in. Because that's a lot of stuff to experience. And it's pretty intense. And if that is how you're feeling, I really, really get it. I still remember the sense of hope I felt the first time someone actually understood how I felt. The first time I could speak to someone and this person went, oh yeah, I get it. Like my mother was like that too. And I've experienced a lot of this. I was like, whoa, it was the greatest gift ever. Like, you mean I'm not alone in this? And you mean this is just not an inherent part of how I am? That's just the result of what I've experienced. So I truly get how you feel, and I've been there. And as I said, I still get triggered. But the good news is there is a way out of this loop of pain. And the steps are quite simple. That's the great thing. There's not a whole pile. Like, they're not easy, but they're quite simple. So let's go through that now. The first thing is awareness, okay? Awareness. And I know, you know, if you've listened to me for a while, I speak to that quite a bit because it is important. The more you become aware of what triggers you, of the mechanisms, of how your mother's behavior has impacted you, the more you can create a map, like literally a map of your system, a map of your inner world. Okay, when such and such happens, I seem to react this way. Why is that? What triggered me in that situation? And from there, you start making connection. Okay, so when that happens, I get triggered. When such and such situation goes a certain way, I react this way. And that doesn't mean that you need to avoid all those situations and avoid all those triggers once you know them. Sometimes, for periods, that can be a supportive thing to do. But that's not like that. It's not about avoiding everything that triggers, but it's about learning what triggers so that you understand your system better and you start understanding that they are indeed triggers and is not an inherent part of you. And that the more you reestablish connections within your nervous system, the more you open up pathways that are different from the coping strategies, the more these triggers lessen. Like, I know I mentioned that I got triggered during the storm, that I need to be in control. A wound came up and showed face, but it was nowhere near. Like, a situation like that would have had me fighting with my husband, treating my kids bad, getting upset, being nervous all the time, answering back like crap to anyone, and just having strong and like waves of anxiety and even panic, like palpitations and like not being able to cope, especially because it went on for days. What all that was happening in my system was like a mild discomfort and knowing that, okay, these things are being triggered, so I need to breathe, and I also need to speak it to my family, as in my husband and my kids, so that they know that this is what's going on and they're safe. And once I book about it, then it feels a little bit better. And then maybe another wave comes up, but again, I breathe. So that's, there's a big, big difference. And in the lived experience overall, it's a massive difference because I was also able to function and enjoy a lot of the things that actually we got to do as a result, because we ended up having to go out and maybe eat out because there was no way to eat at the house, or, you know, like different things like that. I was actually able to relax something that would have been absolutely impossible for me years ago, definitely, like completely impossible. It would have been an absolute mess. I would have been a mess. I didn't ring home. I didn't, well, I know my phones were down, but also when I went into the town, I didn't ring, obviously not my mother, I'm no contact, but not even the rest of my family, sort of going, oh my God, I need support, I need help, come and rescue me. There was none of that. So that's to say that the awareness with the next step, which the learning tools of self-regulation, the two things combined already get you like super good places. Okay, so awareness first, the learning tools of self-regulation, what works for you. Because there is a ton of stuff out there that you can do, and not everything is gonna work for you. And some things might not work at the beginning because there's still a lot of resistance in your system. And then maybe eventually they will work. So it's a journey, and it's a journey of exploration, and you need to be playful. So if you have tried something, if you have tried things, if you've been to therapy, if you've been to different places and you got tools and you got, and some things didn't work, and that just, you know, you went, oh, that doesn't work for me. That's it. Be playful, revisit, learn more about it. And maybe some things don't work for you, but find the things that do work for you. And again, play and play and play with that. Because the more you play and the more you practice and the more you play, the more you actually start seeing what works and things start shifting. The third thing that is really, really important is commitment. Commitment to yourself and to your happiness, first and foremost. If you're not committed, you're not going to stick with the learning of the tools of self-regulation, and you're not going to stick with practicing them, because there's going to be waves, there's going to be ups and downs, there's going to be moments where you feel more motivated and moments where you don't. There's going to be moments where you're in a good spell, in a period where you're feeling sort of good, and there's going to be moments where you're feeling like absolute crap because something got triggered and you didn't realize that happened, that went under the radar, and you're in a way in a moment where you're in the downwards spiral. And in those moments, you don't feel like practicing, you don't feel like doing anything, and so you need to fall back on your commitment to yourself. That's really, really important. Realize that nothing is more important than you are. And that is not being selfish. When I'm not talking about being selfish and arrogant, I'm talking about the path of self-devotion. Okay, that self-devotion from which you can then love and do amazing things for others too, but you gotta do it for yourself first. If you cannot commit to 10 minutes of daily self-practice of tools that you know are going to support your system to feel better, how can you be there for your children? How can you be there for the people you're working with? How can you be there for anyone, for your friends, for anyone, for your pets, if you have nothing else but a pet? How can you be there for anyone or anything in your life if you're not able to be there for yourself? Okay, so that's really important. This is a part of commitment to yourself and to implement the practice that works for you. The more you practice in the good times, the more you will be able to implement and use the tools that work when the storm hits. So there's no point in me expecting to be in a moment when a wound gets triggered, like last week, and never doing breathing, never doing anything like that, but then try and do it in that moment when things don't work, when things are like really triggered, and then say, oh, I didn't work. You need to train your system consistently and with commitment. And when you do that, then in those moments of real need, it's going to work. It's really going to work because your system is already trained. It's like, you've heard me saying this before, it's like wanting to go run a marathon and having run 10 minutes one day 10 years ago. And all of a sudden you want to run a marathon, you're not going to run a marathon. You're gonna stop pretty soon, okay? It's not going to work. To run a marathon, you need to train every day, a little bit. You don't need to run a marathon every day, but you need to train a little bit every day. You need to go running a little bit every day. And then you'll get to run a marathon. So that's really important. And the fourth thing, and the last thing, is support. Okay, so you don't have to do this alone. In fact, trying to do this alone is another form of a protective strategy. Lone wolfing, so you never have to be exposed to others and to the unsafety that comes when others are involved. The unsafety that might come, that you feel might come, that you fear might come when others are involved. Getting support is a truly potent step towards healing from mother wounds, especially when the support comes from other women, because mother wounds are wounds that are relational wounds with other women. So when you get support within a group of women or with, you know, with your therapist, your coach, whatever, wherever you're going to get the support, it's really, really beneficial. And when it comes from a woman, it's really, really, really more beneficial. Because that's the type of wound. I mean, we've already spoken to this. It's a lot easier for us to relate with men. Why? Because we've been wounded mainly by women. Now that I did an episode last week on father wounds, so this can vary depending on what the relationship with your father was. But as a general point, most daughters of narcissistic mother will find it easier to relate with men, less threatening. A lot less scary, and that is because it is a women relational wound, mother to daughter. Okay, and so when you get support from other women, you are healing that wound. So those moments where, because you might have heard of point number three, the commitment to yourself, that's really hard. How do I stay committed all the time? Well, when you get support in the moments when that falters, you're going to have a support that is going to keep you on track, especially at the beginning. That's really important. And then once a habit is established, and then once you are, you know, once you made a few steps in the right direction, you're going to be able to go on by yourself. A support that keeps you, dependent on the support is not a good support. A support that helps you then take your own steps, it's a good support. So, awareness, learning tools of self-regulation, commitment, and support. Those are the four steps, the four things that you need in overall to be able to heal from these mother wounds that we spoke about today. So what I want you to really bring with you from this episode, if nothing else, is to understand that carrying these mother wounds inside doesn't make you broken or in need of fixing. And that none of this is your fault to begin with. What realizing you carry this wound is, it is important information for you to understand that you're not inherently faulty, that the way you behave and react, the way you behave and react is the result of all that you have experienced growing up. And it doesn't have to be this way forever. So it's not a part of you, it's not your fault, and you can get out of the loop of pain. There is a way out. You have the power to turn it around. You can start now on the path of healing and loving yourself in the way that you deserve. You have that power, okay? That's really, really important. It's you that have that power. It's not your fault that these things happen. It didn't start with you, but it can end with you. You have the power to break the cycle. You have the power to change all of this. It's in your own capacity. You're totally capable to do this. You can feel safe in yourself. That is going to become available to you. That sense of safety will become available to you. Even if you don't feel it right now, it will be there when you do those four things. When you become aware, when you practice self-regulation, when you practice commitment, and when you get support, you are going to get to a place where you start feeling safe within yourself. And you are lovable exactly as you are. Remember that. You are lovable right here, right now. Before you do anything else today, you are already lovable and you are enough. That's really important. You are absolutely enough today, right now, and this very moment. Nothing to add to yourself to be enough. You already are enough. So this is the main thing. Even if you forget the names of the mother wounds, even if you forget all the rest, you are lovable right now, you are enough, and you can feel safe. And that would be all for today. Now, of course, I probably would have been advised not to do this episode just yet, because this is an episode on mother wounds, and my 10 weeks program, Inner Transformation Healing Mother Wounds webpage, is not ready yet. So I can't put a link in the description of this episode about that. But the reason the page isn't ready is because I've been busy working with women in the program, and serving women that need it was the priority and still is. So I know I don't have a link specific to send you just yet, but if you are interested, there are spaces now opening for the 10 weeks Inner Transformation Healing Mother Wound program. It's a one-on-one program with me. So if you are interested in knowing more, you can send me an email. The email is in the description of this episode, so you can send me an email and ask about that, and I can send you all the information until the page is ready. And also the self-love guided, free guided practice, it's always available. You can access that. There is a link in the description of this episode. And with that, I'm going to send you lots of love. Bye for now.